We are in week number two of our new series entitled Selfless. How our culture really kind of just puts us in the track to be selfish. God calls us to be selfless, and that's what we're encouraging each other to do. Let me do today as I did last week, and that's to give credit to Pastor Craig Groeschel. I heard this teaching given by him, parts of it anyway, and was just so encouraged by it that I thought that you and I needed to hear a lot of this. So over the next few weeks, much of what I'll be sharing with you comes from being gleaned from him. Last week, we started talking about how God wants us to be bold in our witness, how that's one of the marks of us not being selfish, but being selfless, is how we share the message of love and grace and mercy with others. And then today we're going to talk about being faithful, how God calls us to be faithful in service, how service is not what we do, but a servant is who we are. And I want to encourage you with that message today. Now, let me give you a couple of little illustrations here to help you get in the frame of mind that I want you to be in. Have you ever been in line, and then somebody cuts in front of the line? What does that do to you? Man, I just turn into something that God doesn't like, you know. Don't you? I mean, it's amazing how it's so easy to just like shift into this thing. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You were behind, the line begins back there, you know, boy, that's hard to do. But have you ever been in a situation where you needed to cut the line? Okay. I remember one time in particular, I'd gone to the funeral home and I needed to say something to the widow whose husband had died. And when I walked into the funeral home, the line was like all the way around the room, down the hall, and out the back door. So I'm thinking, I'm there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm the pastor. I'm going to be doing this service tomorrow. So I just kind of walked up in front of everybody, and I walked up, and I just kind of started speaking to the widow. And I'll tell you how this is in American culture anyway. When I did that, this little 4 foot 8-year-old or 85-year-old lady that was in the line, I thought that she was going to jump me. You know, she never said anything, but if you could say things with your eyes or with your look, man, she was upset at me. And I understood it because that's the way we are, right? I mean, that's the way we are in our society. So in this idea of being selfless and not selfish, how Jesus says that if we want to be the greatest, we got to be the least. If we want to be first, we got to be last. Let's look at this idea of what it looks like to be faithful in service. Let me ask it to you this way, and this is a really important question. What are you always doing? I mean, if somebody was going to use the term always to describe something about you, what would they say that you are always, always doing? You know, for example, man, he just works all the time. He's always working. He's a workaholic. You know, or like what people, you ask that about to people about me, and they'll say to you that, yeah, he's always working out. He's always going to the gym. You know, you didn't have to laugh that hard. Come on. You know, what are you always doing? What would they say about you if somebody was going to use the term always? Man, she's always talking. She never shuts up. You know? You know, she's always this, always, always that. How about this? He's always sharing his faith. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, he's always or she's always thinking about other people. A lot of times people say this, you know, she's always on the phone. She's always on the phone. You know, that's different now than back when I was young. When I was young, if somebody said that you're always on the phone, what they meant was that you were at home and you were talking to somebody else on the phone. Nowadays, if they say, oh, he's always or she's always on the phone, you may not be talking to anybody. You might just be doing this. Tell me when you get uncomfortable. You know, you're just scrolling. You're just checking. You know, you're just looking at this, that, and the other. You know, and honestly, Arlene and I, we find ourselves, you know, we're doing that. We're sitting in a restaurant. Or get this, sometimes we're sitting up in bed, getting ready to go to bed, and we're both just scrolling. And every little while we say, look at this, you know. Hey, look at this. Oh, did you see this? Oh, you know, you're just back and forth on your phone. What are you always doing? You know, this idea of thinking about yourself. Hopefully that wouldn't be something that someone would say about us. They only think about themselves. They're always thinking about themselves. Do you know that if you look up the term self-promotion online on any search engine, you'll get thousands of articles about how to promote yourself. My favorite one was this: 40 ways to promote yourself without being a jerk. I'll send you the link. Everybody will want to check that one out. Did you know that teenagers today, 54% of them says that they aspire to be a celebrity? 54% that they want to be a YouTube star. That's their goal in life. Or they say it this way. They say, you know, I want to be the GOAT. Now, I don't have teenagers anymore. My kids are grown, have been for quite a while. But those of you that have teenagers, what is a GOAT? The greatest of all time. I want to be the GOAT. Now, let me tell you something, folks, right up front here. All of that is totally opposed, diametrically opposed, the exact opposite to the way that Jesus calls us to live. I mean, can I remind all of us here today that Jesus says that, and we looked at this last week, that to be his disciple, that we have to what? We have to deny ourselves. And then we have to do what? We have to take up our cross. And what? And follow him. That we have to deny ourselves. Jesus said that the greatest among you will be your what? Your servant. That if we want to be first, we got to be last. The last will be first, and the first will be last. The greatest among you will be your servant. That's the way Jesus calls us to live. So here's the thing, folks. Service is not something we do. As a Christian, service is not just something we do. It's who we are. We are, first and foremost, a servant. God calls us to think about other people before ourselves. God calls us to put other people first. And that's difficult to do, isn't it? Did anybody, how many of you here commented on my Facebook post that blew up this week? I posted on Facebook and I asked this simple question. I said, if you're at a red light and you're at an arrow that turns left and there's one car in front of you and the light turns green and the person in front of you is on their phone or is distracted in some way and they don't go, do you just tap your horn? It was so funny. I think there was like 300 comments or something on this Facebook post because this exact thing happened to Arlene and I last week. I had some minor dental procedure done first of the week, and after it was over, Arlene was driving me home, and we were sitting at the light, and there was a left turn arrow, and we're sitting there. There was one car in front of us, and she was driving. I was in the passenger seat, and I wasn't feeling great. I wasn't feeling awful, but I wasn't feeling great. You know, everything was still numb and all that kind of thing. But anyway, so the light turned green, and I didn't say anything, and the lady that was in front of us, and yes, I did see that it was a lady. It could have just as easily been a man. But it was a lady, and I could tell she was looking at her phone. She didn't turn. So I did what most men would do. Arlene would never. She said later, she said, I would never blow the horn. I said, you mean you would just sit there through another light? Yes, I would sit through another light. Oh, what about a second? Yes, I would never blow the horn. Well, this lady wasn't going, so I just reached over myself and I blew the horn. And the lady was like, oh, and she took off. And Arlene just absolutely exploded on me. You know, it hasn't happened often, but when it happens, it is quite something to behold. And she looked at me, and she was like, don't you ever do that. And I'm like, honey, I don't feel, oh, my tooth is hurting, you know. She wasn't going to go. And she said, it doesn't matter. You do not. And I said, well, you know, so anyway, I got home, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to show her how wrong she is. So I put this post on there, and literally 11 out of 10 people agreed with me. Some people even said, not only would I blow the horn, I would lay on the horn. I would inch up and bump her with the front of my car and encourage her to go. They were, get on and look. It was incredible. Some of the things that were said. And Arlene was like, it doesn't matter. And you know what she had the audacity to say to me? She said, well, wide is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. I said, you are kidding me. You're going to quote that to me, right? I mean, I readily agree, and I think you will too. Most of us, it's easy to just think about ourselves. I mean, it really is just easy to think about ourselves. So what are you doing? What are you always doing? What would somebody say that you're always doing? Let me read you a scripture, beautiful passage of scripture in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Look at this. It says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. Wow. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Now think about it. Look at this. What was she always doing? You know, what would somebody say that you always do? Well, if it comes to Dorcas, I think that she would always say, listen, just call me Tabitha, okay? What is she always doing? She's always doing good. She is always helping the poor. What an amazing way to live. Now let me give you a little bit of background about this lady, this Dorcas. She was the first Greek woman mentioned in the New Testament. Okay? She was known for what? Always doing good, always helping the poor. If you read this passage of scripture and the context around it, you'll see that she was a seamstress. She made things. I kind of feel like that it indicates that she used her talent to bless other people. You know, kind of like our quilting group here. They get together and they make things to bless other people. You know, our knitting group, they get together and they make things to bless other people. You know, and I can see this in her. You know, her, she making something. She said, here, I made this just for you. And when she goes away, somebody say, man, I'll tell you what, that Dorcas, she's just always doing good. She's always helping somebody. She's always helping the poor. And let me tell you something. Her life was so exemplary in the life of the New Testament church. I mean, her acts of service. To her, service was not something that you do. A servant was what she was. And her life was so important to the church. You know what they did when she died? You can read it. You know what they did when she died? Peter raised her from the dead. Why? Because her life was such an example of a servant. It was not an act that she did. It was who she was. It was how she lived. It was part of her. It was part of her DNA. So let's just ask ourselves this morning, are we always serving ourselves? Or are we always serving other people? I mean, do we have to be recognized in the group? Or can we be in the background or in the shadows, just doing the things that help other people? You see, folks, this is a trait of our character, of yours and of mine. And we have to ask ourselves truthfully, what do we think about? Do we think about serving others first? Or is it always about ourselves? You know, I had this friend one time, and it was really tough. And I always wanted to talk to him about this, and I never did. And we you know, this is a long time ago, so we moved, and I never did address this. But he was one of these guys, and I bring this up because I think we all have a friend like this, or maybe we are this friend. And if we are this friend, we need to ask God to help us with this, because a lot of times, have you ever known somebody that does this? That if you are in a room with them, if you're talking with them, they are totally engaged as long as they're talking and you're listening. But then when it comes time that you talk, that you share, you can see in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit, and even in their body, they're somewhere else. And then when things change and it comes time for them to interject, to say, to have input, they're right back into it again. You ever seen this? Are you like that? Because you know what? It's not only do we know somebody like that, it's easy to be like that. Always thinking about yourself before you think about others. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you an idea of how do you become a faithful servant? How do you promote your DNA to be about being a servant and not just about service? How do you overcome the idea of self-promotion, that's what the culture says that we should do, and to think about other people, to live as Jesus encouraged us to live? How do you become a faithful servant? Well, here, I want to give you three images, and then I want to tell you three quick stories, all from the Bible. Three images and three quick stories. Here's the images. If you want to be a faithful servant, you can bring a lunch, or you can offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. Keep those things in your mind. You can bring a lunch, You can offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. Now that first story, maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. It's the story of David. Bring a lunch. David was a war hero. You know that, right? What was he famous for? Well, lots of things. He was famous for calling out Goliath and defeating him in battle. You know, he was the youngest of several brothers, and he became a war hero. So much a war hero that the Bible says that as he would come home from battle, that the women would come out onto the street and they would sing songs of how David conquered, and David, you know, slew tens of thousands. Can you imagine that? Guys, can you imagine that you coming home from work and your wife meets you out on the street in front of your house and she's singing about your exploits, about your conquering spirit, you know, about how awesome you are. And then she's joined by other ladies in the neighborhood who recognize the same thing. Can you imagine that? You know, I'm trying to give Arlene an idea here, you know. But I submit to you that David was not only known as a hero because of what he did in battle and who he defeated in battle, but he was a hero because of something very insignificant that is easily overlooked in the beginning of David's story. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17, it says, one day Jesse, that was his dad, one day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread, and carry them quickly to your brothers, and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain, and see how your brothers are getting along, and bring back a report on how they are doing. Now, folks, don't let this pass you by. Before David became the hero, before he became known for slaying lions, you know, before he ascended the throne, before he led armies, You know, before he became known as a man after God's own heart, he was a young boy who was spoken to by his father. And his father said, take this basket of roasted grain and take it to your brothers who are on the battlefield. Now I submit to you that this is after it is spoken that David is going to one day become king. And even though he had all of these aspirations for himself and even from God, and even though no one else ever thought that he was going to become anything very important, he humbled himself to the point that he took a basket and he delivered it to his brothers. And he took Jesus, says, and he delivered it to the captain. And then he observed his brothers of how they were doing, how they looked, how they felt, if they seemed strong. And then he took all this information back to his father, and he reported to his father how his brothers were getting along in battle. I submit to you folks that that is one of the reasons why David was faithful. He was a servant, and he was willing to serve. You see, the greatest is the one who serves. You know, Jesus said it this way, that we are called to be servants. You know, Jesus said that he came to serve, and that we are not called to think of ourselves as great. We are called to be servants, not just do acts of service, but to be a servant. And you see, let me tell you the difference in that. An act of service, and he was asked to do an act of servant here. But to recognize yourself as a servant is to make yourself a slave of your master. Therefore, there's no limits to what the master can ask of you. So David was a faithful servant, because he was willing to bring a lunch. Or you can offer a ride. Now, some of you may not understand what I'm referring to here in this. Let me tell you about a prophecy that was spoken almost 600 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Zechariah gave a prophecy and said that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Now think about that. 600 years before Jesus was born, here was this prophecy that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Now you fast forward 600 years, and it's during Jesus' time, and Jesus is with his disciples. And it's about ready, he's about ready for his life to be laid down. And he tells the disciples to go out and to get this donkey. And he says to them this, he says, if anyone asks you, what do you need of it? Why are you untying it? What are you doing with it? What are they to say? The Lord needs it. You know, what he's describing here is that the disciples go and they untie this donkey, and the owner comes. And the owner says, hey, wait a minute, that's not your car. You know, I was going to my car out here at Walmart one night several years ago, and there was this man walking in front of me, maybe 30, 40 yards, and he was going kind of towards the same direction as I was going, and as I was walking toward my car, he goes over, and he gets in my car. And he's sitting behind the wheel, and I'm thinking, what is this all about? And, you know, I don't know, I might do something different now, but then I walked up to the car, and, you know, he looked up at me, and I knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and I said, dude, this is my car. And he got out and he went beside my car to a car that looked identical to mine, and he got in it and he left. And we had a great laugh. But can you imagine? Here's Jesus. He says, go and get this donkey. And if anybody asks you, what are you untying this for? What are you doing with this? You just say the Lord needs it. So they go, and let's say the owner comes, and the owner says, hey, man, what are you doing? That's my donkey. That's mine. And they're to say, the Lord needs it. And here's the beautiful thing. It seems to indicate that Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy. God had known a long time ago that this was going to happen, that this man was going to have this donkey tied up there, and that Jesus was going to have need of it. And he put in the heart of this man to just turn it over to Jesus. You see, folks, if you want to be a faithful servant, you must be willing to do as this man did and offer a ride. Or, finally, you can carry a towel. You can bring a lunch. You can offer a ride. Or you can carry a towel. Now, I'm sure that you understand the reference here. It comes from the life of Jesus. John records it in John 13, verse 4. He says, So he got up from the table, Jesus did, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Here is the most beautiful and selfless act that Jesus uses to demonstrate how selfish and self-absorbed at this particular time the disciples were. Because if you read the story here around this, you recognize that that while Jesus comes in and no one bothers to welcome him. Like, you know, if somebody comes to your house or my house, we come in and we say, hey, come in, you know, let me get your coat, have a seat. Would you like something to drink? In that culture in Jesus' day, because of the dust that they encountered and because of the kind of footwear that they wore, it was customary to, when you came into someone's home, that as the guest of that home, that they would wash your feet. Or at least would offer you a basin to rinse your feet in. But they did neither. They instead were doing what? Do you know? They were being self-absorbed. They were thinking about themselves and themselves only. They were arguing about what? About who would be the greatest. About who would be the goat. Who'd be the greatest of all time? And no one seemed to notice, and here I think is the most telling part of the scripture, because no one seemed to notice what Jesus was doing. Because it says he got up. Now if you're being entertained in someone's home, if you get up, doesn't people notice? Oh, maybe they're finally leaving. You know? Don't people notice? They didn't notice. Even when Jesus took off his robe, don't you think someone would have thought, wow, what's Jesus doing? He's getting undressed. They didn't notice when he took a towel and he wrapped a towel around his waist. No one noticed when he got the basin, when he went and he filled the basin full of water. No one noticed when he set the basin down in front of the disciples. And it wasn't until he took their feet and began to wash their feet, drying them with the towel, that all of a sudden they noticed. Jesus, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. You know, Peter, with his denial of, I don't deserve for you to wash my feet, but they didn't notice when he was leading up to this beautiful act. You see, folks, if we want to be a servant, we have to offer to others, people around us, a selfless attitude that will help them to understand that we know who we are and why we're here. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus recognized that he did not come to be served, but to serve. Do we recognize that? You know, do we do that? Are we able to live that way? It's so much easier, isn't it, to allow people to serve us rather than to serve? You know, do we think like that? Do we think like Jesus and overcome the urge to be selfish and to become selfless? Because you know what, folks, we're never more like Jesus than when we're like that. And that's exactly who Jesus is, and Jesus calls us to live this way. And here's the neat thing. When you serve others, you're serving Christ. Now think about that for a moment, because I think we miss that. You know, as believers, I think we all would say, you know what, yes, I love the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to be His man, to be His woman. I want to put Him first in my life. But do we recognize that when we serve others, we're really serving Christ? Let me show this to you out of Scripture. You remember Jesus? Jesus is talking about the end. And, you know, we come before Jesus and Jesus says, you know, He welcomes us into eternity. And why? He says, because when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. You remember that story? And then they said to Jesus, well, when did I see you hungry and when did I feed you? When did I give you food when you were hungry? When did I visit you when you were in prison? And Jesus says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You see, it's in selfishness that we look at our fellow man who is in need of something and we say, no, we can't help. Because when we say no to serving others, we are saying no to serving Christ. So, what are you always doing? I mean, what's the word, what's the act that people would use to say about you? What are you always doing? Well, let's do as Jesus calls us to, and let's carry a basket. You know, let's take a lunch. Let's offer a ride. Let's carry a towel and not overlook the opportunities that we have to serve others each and every day. And then one day we will hear those wonderful words. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful. What? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we don't want to just serve. We want to be a servant. We want the very definition of who we are to be what we do. That we are bond slaves, Lord. That we are servants of the Most High. Why? Because that's what He's called us to do. Just as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, so too, Lord, we go in the world. We go into the world not to be self-absorbed, not to just think about ourselves, not to want to be the goat. Because, Lord, we know that one day we're going to come before You, and it says You're going to separate the sheep from the goats. And then to the sheep, You're going to say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. So, God, wanting to be nothing more than a celebrity, being the greatest of all time, it leads nowhere. But Lord, living a life of service, kindness, love, and compassion to others in your name, Lord, makes us more like you. And that's who we want to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.